This is Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. That last track was Surreal by Bloom Effect. And coming up next, we have a track coming out of, not a track, a news piece actually, coming out of Nanaimo, BC, from their local LJI journalist, Lauren McKenzie from CHLY. And this is about a local short film festival happening on Vancouver Island, and this is our 21st year. Let's take a listen.
This is a CHY News update. Local and international short films will be on full display this weekend at the Malaspina Theatre at Vancouver Island University. For 21 years, the Vancouver Island Short Film Festival, or VISFF, have been celebrating short films and giving space for new upcoming talent to showcase their work. Johnny Blakeborough is a president and co-founder of the VISFF. He tells CHY that this year they are partnering with the Cinevic Short Circuit out of Victoria to present a special program of short films from Vancouver Island and Gulf Island filmmakers.
So this is our first ever locals only program. Often we have local films in our festival every year, but they are spread out amongst the program with international. But this is just Vancouver and Gulf Island filmmakers, 9 films from all over the island and the Gulf Islands. And we're really excited to see how that works.
The Short Circuit Showcase will be presented on Friday, April 17th at 1 p.m. at the Malaspina Theatre. Blake Burrow says having the festival showcase films locally and internationally gives the audience the best of both worlds.
I like having a great festival that shows content from everywhere in the world. We have films from Iran, we have film from Moldova, France, all over Canada. But having some local connection as well is really important, and also getting filmmakers to see their films with these other films, international films, is a really great experience.
He says the festival also allows local and youth filmmakers to meet and build community with other filmmakers from around the world.
One of the things that we're doing this year that I'm really excited about is we're creating an opportunity for young filmmakers and filmmakers that are more experienced to interact more. And we're having a breakfast before the show where the filmmakers in all different age groups can get together and talk about their films and talk about what they've done and where they've gone and where they want to go. And so that really exciting ideas around mentorship and building that community.
The festival will run Friday and Saturday at the Malaspina Theatre, with the Cinevic Short Circuit program showing at Friday at 1 p.m., followed that evening with the first half of the VISFF short film program at 7 p.m. Saturday will feature in its third year the VISFF Youth Showcase at 1 p.m., followed by the Youth Goldie Award ceremony. That evening, the second half of the VISFF short film program will be presented, followed by the Goldie Award ceremony and after party. The films can be viewed in person at the theater or stream digitally online through their virtual festival for those who cannot make it in person. Filmmaker Q&As will follow each evening program, as well as the Short Circuit showing. Arnold Lim is a filmmaker from Victoria whose film Obscura is being shown this year, his third short film to be featured at the festival. At the 2025 edition of the festival, he won the Best of BC Award for his film My Name is Arnold. Lim spoke to CHY about his film ahead of the festival screening.
Yeah, so Obscura is about a young hikikomori, and a hikikomori is a shut-in, and it's a fairly unknown phenomenon that happens primarily in Asian countries where young people lock themselves in their room, sometimes for several days, sometimes months, and sometimes even years. And so it's about a young hikikomori who clashes with his family and creates a camera obscura to reconnect with his family in the outside world. And we shot it all on Vancouver Island.
Lim says he loves the medium as it allows him to be more concise with how he tells stories. He says his experience as a photo and video journalist gifted him the knowledge to craft his stories.
Having that opportunity helped craft my understanding of what story is and helped me understand better how I wanted to tell stories. And, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes down to any story that is passed through me, is a product of all the stories that have come to me over my lifetime and passed down to me from my parents.
Lim's film will be screened during the second program Saturday evening. Like many of his films, Obscura was filmed on Vancouver Island.
And being someone that is a filmmaker that has grown up and lived in and on Vancouver Island for many of my for most of my life, and where I got married and raised my children, we have an ecosystem of support here that is really special. And I think that across Vancouver Island and Nanaimo for sure as well, we have people who are artists that really hit above the weight class of what our population is. And that's been a special place to cultivate the craft and work on the storytelling ability. And that's really special because art isn't a want for me. Art is a need.
He says art in general, no matter the medium, is celebrated and respected in deep, meaningful ways on Vancouver Island. From a film point of view, Lim says Vancouver Island is a special place because it's not an overshot area.
Sometimes I do work in Vancouver, and you often see Vancouver represented as a different place. What I like to do is whenever possible, however I can, to represent Vancouver Island as Vancouver Island.
Lim says at the core of what makes filming on Vancouver Island special is the flexibility of exteriors, beautiful landscapes to regal architect.
It's a gift for filmmakers. I think it's untapped. I think it's a little bit unseen. I'm grateful for that opportunity. Part of me selfishly hopes that I get to continue to work on here and not have so many people using the same locations. But yeah, I think one of the special things about here is the beautiful landscapes that we have here and the looks that we have here very close to each other, but also the talented filmmakers that we have here. We may not have some of the big names that some other areas have, but we have no less talent here. And I think from a population standpoint, we absolutely hit above our weight class and we have some of the best artists in the world.
The Vancouver Island Short Film Festival starts tomorrow afternoon at the Malaspina Theater at Vancouver Island University. Tickets can be purchased at visff.com or at the door. For CGY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you to CHLY News and Laura McKenzie for that piece on a very interesting short film festival that is happening on Vancouver Island. And we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This has been your host, Danny Nesvedarani. We have about 20 minutes left in the hour, so enough time for some more talk. And this next piece comes from myself. It's one that I produced about a month ago, and it is about the 2026 Indigenous Storyteller in Residence at VPL. I am playing just a quick cut of the interview that I produced. The full hour-long interview is available at cjsf.ca. If you go into the Speak Up archives of previous shows, you'll very easily find it. But I thought I'd play it again because his events that he has going on as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence have started. There's one even today about staging your own play. It's about gaining a comprehensive understanding of playwriting from production to the initial concept. It's a 3-part series. This is the second part, but I'm sure you can still join in. And this will delve into the concepts of scene and monologue writing, text analysis, staging, all of those things. Later on, though, on May 5th, he has a piece on pretendianism, which is something that we talked about at length in the full interview. But I thought I would just play some of it for all of you right now. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The beginning of March this year, the Vancouver Public Library announced its 2026 Indigenous Storyteller in Residence, Nishka Theatre Artist C. Peel. VPL's Indigenous Storyteller in Residence program was first developed in 2008 to highlight the importance of storytelling as a way to learn about and from Indigenous communities throughout Vancouver. C. Peel is an actor, director, writer, dancer, and producer who has worked in various art spaces throughout BC, including his work as the Indigenous Outreach Coordinator at the Kulch and his work as the Artistic Associate at the Carmen Arts Group. CJS have reached out to C. Peel to learn more about what he's working on for this residency, and during our conversation, we discuss some of what he hopes he's able to achieve as VPL's Indigenous Storyteller in Residence. In his own words, he hopes to destabilize the notion that people understand what Indigenous means.
It's already tricky enough to land opportunities as an Indigenous person, and it's tricky to find opportunities that allow for the dignified self-agency to determine what exactly the position can mean. It's tricky to find opportunities like that, meaning that a lot of opportunities will sort of have an often subconscious assumption of what indigeneity is, and that can sort of set the stage for a potential limiting on what the true possibilities are for Indigenous people to create art and to self-express, because there's this potential for the understanding to impair who gets selected, because you don't necessarily fit the understanding of what indigeneity is as opposed to what it can be.
This sentiment from C. Peel is something that can be seen throughout all of the programming and personal projects that he's working on during his time as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence for the VPL. Specifically, one of the events that he is hosting is titled Pretendianism. Pretendianism is the term that has been given to a social phenomenon in which someone has publicly and falsely claimed Indigenous identity, often for some form of personal gain. And we asked him why it was important for him to tackle that subject in particular.
What is our understanding of the word going into the conversation before we even start the conversation around indigeneity, pretendianism, opportunity? All of these big, enormous conversations, before we even get there, can we just sit with the curiosity towards what our current understanding is? Because to not do so sets the stage for the continuing reoccurrence of the phenomena. Not that it's going to stop the phenomena, but if we can carry an open-ended curiosity around why does this thing keep happening? I mean, we've got clear reasons, like I mentioned. It's the opportunity, it's the money, it's the acclaim, all of these benefits that can go along with landing a position in a prestigious organization, like not specifically that this has happened, but like a position like what you might find as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence at the Vancouver Public Library, where it's well-funded, got access to the public, it's got access to all of this other stuff. I feel like it's so vitally important to not leave anything unsaid when it comes to these conversations, because it's not enough to just have a position available. It's also important in the conversation of decolonialism and re-indigenization and cultural evolution to be willing to sit with the discomfort that can come from a potential misstep in, oh, this institution hired somebody and it turns out they're not Indigenous. I think that a part of the journey needs to be, well, no, let's just unpack that. Let's talk this through. And before we even get to the point where it actually occurs, before we even get to that point, can we just sit down and talk about what this actually is?
One of the last things we spoke about with C. Peel was the personal project he's developing as part of his role as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence. He gave us an in-depth overview of the project, explaining how it relates to many of the other questions that he is posing throughout this residency.
So a question that I've been sitting with that is at the heart of my personal project here at VPL, as well as it had been at the heart of a different project, so I'm looking to figure out how does the question manifest in a different form. But the question is, what comes to your mind when I say the word Indigenous? And how did that get there? How did that understanding get there in the first place? What set the stage for that understanding? The first iteration of the project was a dance theater piece that I developed in a residency with Raven Spirit Dance. They are an Indigenous dance company here in Vancouver. I spent about a year in a developmental residency where I worked alongside a mentor to work on a personal project. And that was 2024. I worked with Yvette Nolan, an Indigenous artist, fantastic, outstanding artist, really, really insightful. And in one of our conversations about the project and about the nature of it, she had said something that ended up becoming the title of that version of the piece, which was that a lot of the things that I'm sort of sitting with and unpacking with as an Indigenous person, these are the things that I cannot unknow. And so that became the title, The Things I Cannot Unknow.
To learn more about C. Peel's work and some of the events that are going to be hosted during his time as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence at the Vancouver Public Library, you can go to vpl.ca/storyteller. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can find this piece on frequencynews.ca. You can also find our full-length interview with C. Peel on cjsf.ca. Thank you again to C. Peel for that interview, and I hope all of the events go great. I hope you attend them if they're of interest to you. You can find out more at vpl.ca/storyteller. And we're going to be taking another music break. This one is from a local band by the name of Whack. This is off of their album No One's Watching. It's titled Horses.
I'm Michael Stein. Bird Note is an independent nonprofit organization, and this week we're asking you to support Bird Note with a donation at birdnote.org. But today, rather than tell you all the great things about Bird Note, we're going to let our feathered friends do the talking. Enjoy this minute of uninterrupted bird song. Your donations allow us to put joyful birdsong on the radio. Please support Bird Note with a tax-deductible donation today at birdnote.org. Every gift helps us produce the stories you love and share them with your amazing local radio station. Just go to birdnote.org today, and thanks.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. When you toss an old t-shirt into a donation bin, it may end up at Kontamanto Market in Ghana. Each week, millions of secondhand items arrive there from around the world.
Traders buy these clothes in tightly packed bales without knowing exactly what is inside, hoping that there will be enough items that will be good to sell.
Yaira Agbofa grew up shopping at the market and has worked there as a seller. He says much of what comes to Kontamanto ends up as waste. Some is sent to landfills, some washes into waterways, and some is burned, which emits pollution that harms the climate and people's health. So Agbofa founded The Revival, a nonprofit that turns discarded garments into usable products. The group trains young women who work as porters at the market to repair clothes or transform textile waste into other goods such as backpacks or rugs. Agbofa says these creative solutions help reduce textile pollution and empower new entrepreneurs. But solving the problem on a larger scale will require bigger changes to the fashion industry and people's buying habits.
The future of fashion cannot be about producing more. It has to be about using what we already have.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
We are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM, and this is the very end of the hour. But before we go on to Democracy Now!, we have a quick programming announcement from Jesse Wensloff, our programming coordinator.
Hey, yeah, just letting all you Democracy Now! Heads out there know that tomorrow is Earth Day, and so CJSF will be participating in something called Slow Radio Day, along with the Wetland Project. So all of tomorrow's programming from midnight to midnight will be preempted.